going back in, I believe it was 2001, and Taylor Overby, a wonderful believer, lovely believer, actually, very clever man. He invited us over, him and his family. They came over to the UK, and they come over to see a believer that lived in Bath at the time with his family, and Jai, his name was, lovely, another lovely believer who's fallen asleep now. Anyway, we become very good friends when we met them, and so they were going to go back to where they lived, which was they, where they were staying, which is a place called Overby. Now, Taylor Overby, his name, so he went back to that place, that's where his name, he got his surname from, and it's connected up to royalty and all that kind of stuff. You know what these Americans are like, you Americans with your history and connections. Anyway, so he was staying about, it's about 2 hour drive from here.
Oh,
and
okay.
Going back then, we were still doing fellowship. We never ever stopped doing fellowship. So we was doing fellowship and they come, they had a really great time. We had all the old school believers here. It was a brilliant, it was a really lovely time. So they went to leave and I said to Kim, maybe we should just drive them to where the motorway is from where we are. Cause we're out in the countryside as well. And cause they're not going to know where to go. So, we done that. So, and we're driving along and all of a sudden, their headlights behind us are not in our mirror anymore. And we're like, what's happened there? So we turned around and he got a flat tire.
Oh my goodness.
And he didn't know how to change it as well. So, and they didn't have the stuff to change it. So we had the stuff in our car.
I
was working back at that time. I had to be up at 5 a.m. to drive this big telescopic forklift I used to drive. And I said, love, I think we better take them home. Like, you know, because they had Taylor, his wife Eula, young son, young baby. Mm-hmm. At the he was a baby at the time, wasn't he? His son, yeah, he was a baby, just born, not long born. And his 80-year-old parents in the car.
Oh my goodness.
So I said, we can't just let them go and hope they just make it back all right. They got no spare tire or nothing.
Oh my goodness.
So we drove all the way back and they followed us, you know, and they were fine. And because of that act of love and kindness as well, he asked me for all our birthday dates. He said, oh, we want to send presents on your birthdays and it's nice to get them all. But he actually sent us plane tickets. Because back then you would order the ticket, wouldn't you? You get the ticket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he actually brought all our tickets and, with everything, all the details that he needed, he got off us to get these plane tickets. So it was me, Kim, Danny, Leanne, and Carl. And it was a plane flight to San Francisco, where he picked us up. It was a long flight, mind that was. I'll never forget that trip. And so he lived in a place called Alameda, which is between San Francisco and California, yeah? Like, right there. And that's where we first met Tom West and all those guys there. So we went there and had a brilliant time. But just being kind to someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, could open up a whole world. So that's how I first met Tom West going back in 2001. And then I stayed in, I was more in connection with Taylor Overby at that time, which was a good thing because this is how I got to meet Sanger later on in 2003. Taylor Overby rung me and said, oh, we got this guy from India. And he's going to Christian Family Fellowship and he's got this class on healing. Now, me and Taylor have been talking about healing, how we should see the power of God and we haven't seen it and we want to see it and we desire. So he rung me up to tell me this, you know, and I was like, wow, that's great. And so Taylor, when he went to CFF, met Sanger and he said to Sanger, Sangate said to him, do you know anybody in England? Because Sangate's sister-in-law was living in Oxford. And he said, I'm staying in Oxford. Do you know of any other believers? Well, Taylor said, yeah, I do, Lawrence. And he's really interested. He'll want to know about the healings and everything. So Sangate said, here's my number. And if he's interested, this is where I'll be staying. This is when I'll be back there. Tell him to give me a call. So I did. And we finally met up. And he come up. And from that, everything changed for us, you know. We got back on the map with God. It was like a new beginning all over again. And so these little connections, these meetings, the things that we do are really key things for our future. Like we would have never known meeting Sanger. And the funny thing about meeting Sanger was we had to meet him at one of the, it was either the bus station or the train station. And I can remember which one he said. Plus, we don't know what he looks like. We've got no pictures. It wasn't like all of this stuff, like mobile phones at that time, I don't think.
Oh my goodness.
And so anyway, we get all the way to, we did have mobile phones, but we didn't have any mobile phones. Me and Kim, we didn't have mobile phones. And so we go to the train station, nothing there. And then we went to the bus and then I remembered where it was. It was the bus station. And anyway, so we got to the bus station and I'm walking around and I'm looking for an Indian guy, you know, brown and black hair and real Indian. Oh, God blessing you. How you doing? That type of Indian.
Yeah.
And there was Sangat, like he's half Indian, half Japanese, looked nothing like an Indian. Mm-hmm. And I said, he looked at me and I looked at him. I said, are you Sangat? Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Lawrence. Yes, yes. So patient. We were like 2.5 hours late for him.
Oh, wow.
First meeting. And he was so patient. I said, would you like to go for a curry? So we planned to take him to an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, no. He said, I'd rather have fish and chips. I'm here. So I like fish and chips because we told him we like fish and chips and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, I don't want no Indian. He said, I've had many Indians. I can have that as much as I go home. Like, you know, so we fish and chips, we done. The funny thing about that, and I'm sharing this now just while we wait for people to come on. I'm sharing this now because it is really a good memory. So Danny, the Matrix film, were out at that time. And we had them on DVD, on video, actually. On a cassette, you know, like, yeah, DVD, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A DVD or is it a cassette?
DVD.
Yeah, it was a video. It was video back then. And I said to Danny, whatever you bloody do, and I looked at him like, it's because I had to be stern to get them to listen to me.
Right.
Whatever you bloody do, don't tell him you've got the Matrix because he's a man of God. He probably won't like all of that. And then also, we just come back from a wonderful holiday in Spain when everything, it wasn't the Euro then. So we would buy like a big bottle of vodka for say like £5. So we got everything really cheap. And we used to stock up for Christmas. We never had the drinks for us. We gave them away, like to her dad and different people, you know, brothers and sisters for presents. And plus we'd have some in the house, right?
Yeah.
And so in the corner of my office, there was a big, shelf and I had all these hundreds of bottles of drink on the side. And I said to him, I think we should put them away. So he's going to think I'm an alcoholic. And I said, I don't even drink. He said, oh, don't be so religious. He'd be absolutely fine. I said, well, you don't know, do you? You could be really like, he's Indian. You know, they're very serious people, these Indians, you know? Right. Anyway, so the funny thing was he turned up and we done fellowship at my mum's and he loved my mum and my mum really loved him. And my nan was alive at the time then. And she loved Sangha. Everyone loved Sangha anyway. So he was like very much blessed and welcomed by us. And that's when he said, oh, now I know why I'm here. You're going to move the word in all of the UK and all of Europe. And then we come back and Kim not long had an operation on her back and she couldn't bend right over. So Sankey said, okay, like, you know, God can heal this and blah, blah, blah. And he ministered to her and she actually did bend all the way over where she couldn't before. And she's got titanium in her lower back, Kim. So that was a miracle. That was done that night. Anyway, so Danny turned around and said, Sangha, you got all excited. He said, I got the Matrix. And I'm thinking, you little bastard. I told you not, in my mind, I'm thinking, I told you not to say nothing. Sangha went, you got the Matrix? Oh, I love to watch that. Hey, I sleep downstairs with Danny. We watch the Matrix. Anyway, so they did. They stayed down in the living room. He watched The Matrix with Danny, and I think he blessed Danny with some money as well and stuff like this. Anyway, so when it come to him to leave, and again, we weren't really big on this honoring God and all this stuff. We knew to give, but we never knew to give to someone when they visited. And I said to him, I really feel we should give this man something. Like, he's taken all this effort and he's really blessed us. And I feel like we should, you know, give some, you know, what do I call it? Abundant sharing. And she said, yeah, right. And I just got paid. It was a Friday. We got paid weekly back then. And so I gave some abundant sharing. And then afterwards he said, just one thing I need to say. And he said, you need to wash the drink, you know, because you can become very addicted with that, you know, drinking all that. I noticed you had much drink there. Be very careful. I wasn't even going to defend it. I said, okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. I will watch my drink. Right. And I think, like, you know, you get people come over, you just want to be a blessing, an example. There's my son, don't show him the Matrix. And he's going, Sange, I got the Matrix. He's like, you got the Matrix? What was he like, Dan? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, mate.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
We were talking about it last night, actually, because Danny was sharing with me how Sange got ministered to his eye. Because we were talking Raine's syndrome.
That was when you met Debbie Bernstein that time, and he was and he ministered. Yeah, I was sharing that with Amber last night. But yeah, I do remember him coming, and we watched it. I fell straight asleep, but I think he watched one and two.
I think you watched one with him, didn't you? Then he watched the next one.
Yeah,
so he enjoyed that. Like, Sangate's real fun-loving, like, with the young people, isn't he?
He was
with these kids, you know, so. But it's quite funny how you kind of, like, when you got people coming, you know, you're put on, like, your airs and graces. No, we shouldn't have to put on it. Yeah, you know, we have decorum, you know, and stuff like that, you know, but it wasn't too long I got Carl Morton laughing, wasn't it, Carl Morton, when we come to your house. I think the ice broke when we all sat around your table playing president, didn't it? Remember? That was funny. That was hilarious.
Very funny.
Yeah.
And a question. When you met Taylor Overby, I met him in the States way back, and he was a very good artist in drawing, and he did some magazines.
And he still does them.
He still does them. They were called Glam magazines.
Taylor, he's got a good heart. I haven't spoken to him for a long, long time. Mm. But he has got a good heart, very clever, very clever-minded, very artistic. He went on and he graduated university in art or something like that, got a master, is it a doctorate in art and stuff like that, and videographing and all this stuff, whatever you call it. So a very clever man, a big heart, and he done a lot with Dean Ellenwood. Dean Ellenwood lives in Austin, Texas, and he was obviously a big guy in the Wake ministry. He was the one that wrote Daddy's Arms and all that. I climbed back into Daddy's arms and started all over again. That guy. Yeah, he comes to my house as well, Dean Ellenwood. So I've had a lot of connections with these old Way Ministry leaders as well, like, you know, top ones, and learned a lot from them. They're quite humble people, actually, like with a great desire for God. That's the one trait I like about the Way Core people, is that they're, you know, the detail, you know what I mean? Like, very much on it. And, like, you know, very administrational people, you know, I do like that side of the things that they learn. But obviously you've got to have a lot of heart with what we do as well, you know, not all this strictness and being correct on everything, you know, but again, that's learning and that's life and living, isn't it? But, I don't regret anything of what I've learned, you know. The way the Pentecostal churches before the Way International. And I was sharing with people, like, I used to work in a place called the Bendix, which is, they had the big CNC machines. They would make component parts for other machinery. And I used to be a cleaner on each. So on the sections, I'd have to clear out all the swarf that would come from the aluminium of the things that they were making. So they put it in the machine and all the aluminium would go into a bin with the coolant, and I had to empty that, keep everything swept up and clean. But I was so religious back then, so brainwashed, that I would go into the toilets, you know where the urinals are, and put a big sticker, Jesus loves you. And, you know, you got to be born again. You know, you can go to hell or all this stuff. Like, you stick all these stickers up. And I was the only believer in there that was very dominant practicing and preaching. And my supervisor used to be chasing me all over. Lawrence, you can't stick this on the wall. And you can't stick that in the toilet. It wasn't me. Yes, it was. You're the only one that preaches in it. I was only 16, like, very naive, you know what I mean? But when I look back at my young walk, I was very bold. You know, I can remember, like, Danny, when he began, he was very bold. I was exactly the same. And
still is,
or Dan. Yeah, he is, yeah. And I still have as well, in the sense of, like, I do the things that you ain't supposed to do. you know, like sticking stickers everywhere and getting in people's faces. You've got to believe. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe. You know, you've got to be born again. And, like, in fact, I got three warnings about putting these stickers out. He says, if I have to have given up on you, you're out. So I did stop then. I thought I better not do that because I've got a little family to keep at that time. You know what I mean? That was when I was first married to my first partner. So anyway, that's just life and living how it is. But the journey, I wouldn't change anything, I don't think. Maybe some stupid decisions I've made, but the overall journey of my spiritual life, I don't think I would change. So I wouldn't be the person I am today. You know what I mean? And with the faith I got and with the, you know, how I realized that God is really with me and I don't have to lean on any system or any religious system. I just look to him, you know, and be a courager of his people. So yeah, looking back is good. Like if you look back in a good light, you know, for learning purposes, not like Lot's wife, you know, she looked back with desire to, you know, because of what she was going to lose in her mind, you know. She wanted to be there when it was no good. So, but when we look back to see what we've learned, you know, the things that we may have done, which we would feel embarrassed about even saying now, you know what I mean? Because of where we were then, but the transformation, the process. I reckon if each one of you do that, you'll be so blessed because like you'll look back and you think, yeah, God really was there at every stage. You know, and I was crazy at some of those stages. I was out of order in some of those stages. You know, but God is all about his grace, you know. And like, I just keep reminding people lately, look, everything we're doing in practice is nothing to do with our salvation. You know, like when we've done this practice in speaking in tongues for an hour, a focused hour of speaking in tongues, right? It's just something to encourage people to speak in tongues, you know what I mean? And it's also a bit of fun as well. And you can make it fun. And, but there's no law to it. You know, there's no law. I'm not doing that to be saved and to be right before God. I'm already saved and right before God because of what Jesus done. I'm doing this not because of anything I've done. I'm doing it because of what Jesus done. You see what I'm saying? I believed on him. So I'm righteous, not because of me. I'm running a Zoom fellowship, not because I'm anything special. You know, it's because I want to do that. God's put that in my heart to do that, to serve the people, as much as I understand and much as lies in me. So it's nothing to do with my ability, nothing to do with my education, and it's nothing to do with my biblical acumen and what I understand and what I don't understand. Nothing to do with that, because God supplies everything for us, right? So this is what I love about God, because anyone can do this. It's all about desire. And when we get focused, then the desire in us can grow, you know? And then it's all about staying focused, all about not being, you know, it's like a computer game, our life, if you think about it, because then you get, oh, yes, there's Lawrence in his little computer game, and he's doing all the things God wants to do. Oh, here comes a pretty girl now. Oh, now she's going to be joining his life and adding to him. Now, oh, but she's got some things that she wants to do, and it's different to what Lawrence is going to do and what God wants him to do. Is he going to do what God wants him to do? Or is he going to lose some points and go and do what she wants to do? Our life is a bit like that computer game. Just like when I first went to India, you can make that whole thing a computer game. You know, your elephants and your camels and your rickshaws and your autos and your motorbikes and your people and your cows and all the different things walking in the road, you know? And it's like you got to stay alive on there and interweave and everything, you know. And then you got all the different foods and, oh, it's just life is an amazing thing. We are very blessed to be alive and living, no matter your state or your standing where you are right now. It all depends our perspective. It all comes down to perspective and how we view the things and how we see the things. And the great thing is that we can get God's perspective on everything. And that's what we want, you know. And then when we just be thankful for what we got, thankful for the life that we're living, you know, we could just be, you know, I've got so much to be thankful for. The life I'm living now is I got a blessed life. You know, number one, I got a roof over my head. Number two, I got a cooker, I got a dishwasher, I got two dishwashers, the machine one and Kim. I've got a cook, Kim.
You're very good.
You know, it's my wonderful wife. I've got a cleaner, cleaners, Amber and Kim. Amber comes up. And, my family, like, got a beautiful family, like, I got Amber, wonderful daughter-in-law, I got a wonderful son, Danny, wonderful son-in-law, Nick, wonderful daughter, Leanne, and grandkid. I am ultimately blessed. And do you know what? The great thing about that, money has nothing to do with any of that. You can't buy any, money cannot buy any of that stuff, you know what I mean? And I was looking today, and I'm going to do a Sharon on it, and it's all is in line. I'm not going to do a Sharon tonight on it, but it's in line with the stewardship side of things. And I was looking at the words wealth, riches, gold, silver, and there was another word. And what was the difference between all those words? And it's really wonderful to look at those words individually for what they are, what they stand for. And what it actually means, you know. And it's, so I'm going to do a sharing on that because God was really bubbling in my heart about, the word wealth and about the word riches and the word gold and silver and all these things because like, you know, they're not the same. It's all different. And I'm like, wow. And then when we start to understand what each word really truly means and where the stewardship comes in on it, you'll see where you really are in life. You know, you are wealthy right now. Whether you've got $1 in your bank or $100,000 in your bank, you're very wealthy. Like we got the wealth of riches of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got that spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, we got the knowledge of the holy. We got the spirit of the living God dwelling in us. And we are powerful beings. We are as Christ is in this world. We're not ordinary. We are extraordinary. As I said, you've got to be a weirdo. I say to Frank, Frank, you've got to be a weirdo. Frank can't join us tonight, by the way, as he's working. He sends his love to everyone. But yeah, like we've got to be different. We are a peculiar people, you know. God doesn't look at your bank account. He looks at your heart. And one of the biggest things that's been working in my heart lately is where it says in Hebrews, was it? 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This word intent is a big, big word. You know, God just highlighted it in my mind, and I'm thinking intent. Like, okay, what was his intentions? Like, if someone wants to go out with my daughter, what's your intentions? What's the intent? You know, what's the intent of the heart? You know, God's words discern that intent. So you can see someone's intent by their actions, by what they do, by what they say. And so what's your intentions? Now, I could have an intention just to date her for one night and see what I can get or marry her. What's my intentions? I can have an intention to come and check out the family house to see what I could steal and pretend to have intentions of goodness, you know. But God knows the intent of our hearts. And this is what I was talking about when it comes to honoring God. Like the different perspective God was showing me was that we can say, all right, we know you got the Old Testament where it says 10% and you know, we've always encouraged and saying it's encouraged to ask God what to give, yeah? But then God put another change on it. He showed me a different way on it. It was like, okay, how much do you want to give? And I should have realized this going back in 2019, because that's what God said to me back then. How much do you want to give to me? So it puts a different angle on it. And it's not about, it puts it on a higher level. I'm not on about a higher level of giving. I'm on about a higher level of heart. And the intention of your hearts, you know, God discerns that in you. Now, what's the intent in your giving? Because you want to give to God. I want to give this to you, God. And the great thing about that, whatever you want to give to God, God says he supplies the seed to sow. So if you want to give big, then ask God. Father, my heart, I want you to bless me big so I can give big. You said that you supply the seed to sow. And you also said you multiply the seed that I sow. so I can get into a rhythm. And that is true, because since 2019, that's what God's done for me. But I'm fully focused on doing it properly with the heart. I'm fully focused on connecting with the heart. I'm fully focused on pursuing with the heart. If you want a one-on-one, pursue. Even if you've got to ring me, don't even ring up to arrange a time. Just ring. And if I can take the call, I'll take the call. If I can't, I can't. I'll arrange it then with you. Pursue. How much do you really want to connect? Big fit connection is massive. It's just as important as you're honoring God. It's just as important as you're speaking in tongues. No excuses. No one's different. God don't play favorites with anyone. What I do as a leader, I expect you guys to do, because it's going to profit you and benefit you if you want to do it. And it's all down to your free will choice, because no one can make you do anything. I cannot make you do anything I teach or do, or even if I'm living it and doing everything, I can't make you do anything. But I can tell you what I do. I can tell you what works. I can tell you what's beneficial. And if you're humble and you've got a heart open, you'll receive the words gladly. It's when you don't receive the words gladly that you don't do it. It's when you've got your own way or your own doctrine from before. But if you want to see changes in your life, you've got to do something different. It means there's something you're practicing is not right. What you're practicing is just getting you the same boring old results. You've got to change it up. You've got to be honest with yourself. And we don't want to mess around, none of us, do we? I'm not here to beat people up. I'm here to say, look, guys, I know all of you on here really want to live for God. You really want to be that leader. You really want to be that influencer, don't you? Everyone wants to be the influencer. Just like Sangit, we see Sangit having that great influence. All of you want to do that. I want to do that. I really do want to do that. I think I could do it good. I don't think I could do it better, but I think I could do it good. And the reason why I think I can do it good, because I know it's God's ability in me working, not my acronym, not my education, not my understanding. And if you get humble to that point where you realize it's God giving you what you need to do, and it's not about anything about you, what you bring to the table, it's what God brings to the table in you and the things that you're getting, like this sound wonderful way. This is a wonderful sound doctrine. You are free. You don't even have to come on this Zoom fellowship. You know, we don't even have to come together if we don't want to. God says to come together that we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? God says we should speak in tongues. This is why we encourage it. God says to honor him with our finances. This is why we're encouraging it. God says to connect. The connections are very good, aren't they? Paul had great connections. You know, Timothy, Titus, all the other guys were connected, and they were fruitful. They were humble. They were humble. Key element. Like, look, what were these disciples that were connected to Paul? What were they actually like? Did Paul suffer any fools gladly? I don't think he did. Mark Antony played around, didn't he? He wasn't obedient on the trip they went to, so he didn't want to take him on the next trip with Barnabas. And what happened? It caused a fallout between Barnabas and him, didn't it? Never heard of Barnabas after that. Doesn't mean to say that he's not saved or whatever. Just that you never heard anything of him. Because God's focus was with Paul to the church. And he revealed everything to Paul, didn't he? God revealed everything to Paul. The mystery, everything, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we live in the greatest time in the whole world, you know? And God wants us to simply understand that everything that he is doing is very simple for us to know. And, but we got to be humble. We really got to be humble where we're being fed. And whether we've been doing it 40, 50 years, I've been doing this, what, since I was 16. So that means I've only been doing it a couple of years. No, I've been doing it since I was 16, so I'm 58. So how many years is that, love? Nearly 40 years as a believer. Ups and downs, valleys and peaks, left rows, right rows, dungeons and dragons, the lot. Been through it all. You know, but God still got me here because there's a purpose. And the purpose is that God wants you to be who he's really called you to be. And that's to be bold, clear, no fear what people are going to think about you or say about you. I'm very bold now. I never used to be like this. Carl, what did I used to be like this when you first met me? Was I so clear in what I was saying? I wasn't, was I? So I was kissing everybody else's ass. That's why. So this has got like, so like we mature. That's what I'm saying. We mature. So God really wants you to look where you are. I don't live where you are. You live where you are. You're the man or you're the woman in your area. And from you will the word of the Lord sound out if you follow what we're saying, because this is the sound doctrine. Sandgate teaches his leaders this way. You go to God. You walk with God. You do the things he puts in your heart. Stay connected to sound doctrine. You've got to have right practice. I don't care who you know from the past. I've mentioned people of who I know from the past. Well, they're not going to open the doors for me. They could be a door that I could go through, but they're not going to open the... God is the one that opens the doors, right? God is the one that provides the resources. God will work in people to finance you if you are willing to do what he wants you to do. You've got to be determined to speak his word. That's what one of the biggest things Sandgate said to me before I come back in 2020. He says, just determine, Lawrence, to speak thy word. He's on about God's word. Like he says, for me, he says, I will speak thy word, God. And that stayed with me, and it still stays with me. It's very strong, dominant in my mind of how he said it to me. And, you know, and Sandgate's real laid back, isn't he? You know, and God gives him great wisdom, and, but God also gives me great wisdom, and he's given you great wisdom. Sandgate will say this, like what he does with me, he can do with you. You know, and then stick with the plan. Don't, everyone gets diverted off with so many different things. You got to be focused. I mean, like, you are focused, but you got to be seriously focused, like to move forward in the capacity of outreach and growth and getting people practicing and getting people moving together. You know, people not getting so sidetracked with what's going on, even in their own lives. I had a wonderful young man ring me. He's not on the fellowship, but yet he rung me. I speak to him. I know him from the past. Hello, Jason. God bless. I know him from the past. And he rung me up about honouring God, and like he's a young man, and his wife's not too with it at the moment. But it's like he asked me advice on it. I said, well, you're the man. I said, someone's got to do the decision. I said, I had to do the same with my wife, you know. Just got to get a bit of balls with it, you know, and be the man. And then do it. And then God will work also with your partner, you know, and then show her that what he's doing is right. And that's what God done with Kim. And he also helped me with that as well, you know. And God is working with us. God is working with you. He is with you. And he wants you to be bold, and he wants you to be brave. You know, courageous, be very courageous. That doesn't mean saying you won't get challenged with fear, because you will. Even though God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, doesn't mean say you've got a spirit of fear because you fear, you sense fear. But even when you're afraid to do the right thing in front, see, like if you're married or you're in a relationship and there's things that you want to do for God and that relationship is causing you not to do it, it's fear, right? Let's be honest about it. I've had it. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know exactly how to overcome it. And the way you overcome it is getting some balls and doing the right thing. We're to live righteously and do the right thing and trust in God that he will back up our right decision. Do you think God will? Of course he will. He'll take care of your partners or your friendship or the relationship that you're in, whatever it may be, a work relationship as well, whatever it may be. Do the right thing. That's righteous. And we're doing the righteous thing with God. And so when we do the right thing, then the blessings will flow through. The doors will open. People will respect you. People will honor you because you're doing the right. That's where honor comes from. Because you're honoring God. You've got integrity. You're honoring God. No matter what anyone says, you're going to do the right thing. You're not going to let the pressure of someone not talking to you or being funny with you stop you from doing the right thing. See what I'm saying? Even in a marriage relationship, when people are not in agreement, there could be a lot of tension there, can't there? A lot of tension, a lot of pressure, because he ain't giving in, she ain't giving in. And then it comes down to who's going to put God first in it and what is the right thing in there. You know, and the person that does the right thing, then God can come in and work on that and shine through. And there's lines as well. There's, this is the line I go to. You cross that, it's not going further. You obviously draw the line in the sand. God will always meet you at the line. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to let you down in your relationships. Let him be the head of your relationships. Let him be working in it. Let him be in your marriage. Let Jesus Christ be in your marriage. Let God be in your marriage. You know? And sometimes we don't see eye to eye. Especially when we're facing back to back. No, I'm being joking. Yeah, sometimes we don't see eye to eye, but we got respect. The first respect is that we got respect to God and we go and pray to God. Well, I say, sorry, love, I think you're wrong. I'm going to give this to God. Yeah, you go and do that. I'll also give it to God, she says. And then one of us will always give, you know, because we're humble to God, and God might say, Lawrence, you need to back down on this and let her have that. Let her have this, you know, and then I do. And then she does the same with me as well. So it's like, we've got to be humble and meek to God and humble and meek to each other in our relationship. And also as believers, you know, we should give each other a lot of grace. You know, if I upset you, you should give me a lot of grace. If you upset me, I'll definitely give you a lot of grace. You may not like it, and you may not like it, but we give a lot of grace, a lot of love. It's the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestations that sets people free. It's the love of God that allows God to go to work powerfully. You know, that's love. It's sometimes just being quiet and letting things go, giving grace. Like, that's, we want grace in our lives, don't we? We want mercy. So we've got to give these things to others. You know, we've got to do this. We've got to be graceful. And we've got to walk in love. And we can do it. We can actually walk in love. You know, we don't have to be hard-assed all the time. We can be very tender, very loving, very forgiving. You know, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And, but God is looking at the intent of your heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? Even to the point why you're on here. Why are you here? What are you going to do when you go from here? Do you have one face for the fellowship and a different face outside of the fellowship? See, we can't be two-faced. And if we are, God will show us. And then we put it right if we are. So God wants us to be strong and he wants us to be focused. And, you know, and sometimes it's good to speak up, like with one another. If we see something and we might think something of someone, it might not be true. It just might be our perception or misunderstanding or something. So you can clear things up just like you do in your marriage. You know, because the body of Christ is like a marriage. You know, we're marriage, right? So it's like a marriage. It's the mini mystery. The marriage is the mini mystery. You know, Christ, new hope, glory within the marriage. And with one another, we should treat each other very preciously, lovingly, believers, preferring one another. And we should root each other on, you know, and we should want the best for each other and expect the best for each other. And if we're doing that, God will show you exactly where the needs are, exactly how to move towards that need. And the practice of what we've been given is absolutely perfect for keeping you strong, keeping you moving in the right direction. And again, pursue. If you want a one-on-one, you pursue me. Sometimes I have to pursue Sangha. Can I have a one-on-one? No, sorry, I'm busy right now. Try again later. Any particular time? I don't know. Just try again later. And I've done that the whole week sometimes. The whole week it's taken me to get to speak to the bloke. But like I said to him, don't think you're going to get any rest, mate, because I've been chasing you. I'm going to be speaking to you. I'll make you speak to me. I even rung his house phone rather than his mobile, so he didn't know he was calling. Hello, Sangha, it's me. Are you free for that 101 yet? Now, I pursue like that. That's how I do it. You know, I'm giving you an example. This is what I do. So if you want it, no, sorry, I can't speak right now. When can I speak? Maybe, and then I'll get a time out of him come the end. Come the end. You know, I don't give up. Well, he didn't answer this time. I'm not bothering. There's no point. I'll try him again tomorrow. Definitely not doing it. He's ignoring me. He just might be bloody busy. I mean, there's lots of people that connect to the guy. In fact, I'm really busy, Kim will tell you. And he's a lot more busy than what I am. And he'll say to you, he's not, but he is. But the point is that it's about desire, it's about intent and what you want to do, you know. And God wants to do great things through you. You know, getting the things that I've mentioned here now, if you get those things in order in your heart and mind, not saying you haven't, but if there's anything that's highlights you, you think, oh yeah, that's me, get it right. You know, just say, okay, God, help me get this bit right. So I'm not hindering you for me so that I can, you know, really move forward in power and in strength. And, because that's what God wants us to do. And he wants us to be tight knit, you know? And, you know, we don't want no pride, you know, because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, I'm not calling. Why should I connect? You know, that's pride. I don't care whether you agree with me or not. That's pride. You know, because why would I not want to call and connect to my leader? Why would I not? Even if I didn't agree with something, I'd be connecting to him to tell him I didn't agree with something. And could he explain to me why he's saying that or doing that? So I don't get it. You know, help me to understand, cause me to understand. You know what I mean? So, and I have done that in the past. But God wants us to enjoy what we're doing. This should be such a great blessing, what we're doing. Enjoying every day that we've got. You know, and knowing the truth. You know, I went through the end times. Someone asked me about the end times, you know, the gathering together, when it'll be, the tribulation, you know, the mark of the beast. Because a lot of this is being promoted on Facebook and Instagram. Do you know what? When do you think the mark of the beast is implemented? It's not going to be when we're here. Revelations 13, that's when it starts. Halfway through. So don't worry about whether you're going to take the mark or not, because you won't be, because you'll be gathered. There's all these simple little things, timings and stuff like that. And I went through it. I've done a lot of looking into it. Again, refreshing myself from the old times, you know, because if I be honest with you, I haven't looked at it for years. So it's like it was becoming a fake, distant memory in my mind. So I needed a refresher for me because one of my followers was asking me about it. And I'm responsible to give an answer to every man that asks me of the reason of the hope that's within me with meekness and fear. And I said to that person, I'll get back to you. I need to refresh myself. And there's nothing wrong with that as well, because I don't know everything. I really don't. And even what I said, I might have been wrong on some of those things. I'm going to double check it again, you know? And where will I go to double check those things? To my leader. See what I'm saying? But it doesn't stop me from sharing. So all these things are brilliant, you know. So there's a lot of different topics at the moment going on, and because people are in different places as well. So if someone's pursuing me on something, then I will go to God, and if God really presses my heart, I should answer, then I'll answer, you know. So like the end times was a great thing that we went through the other day. I recorded it, 45 minutes. Ask if anyone wants it, send me a message in WhatsApps. And I'll send it to you because that will remind me to send it and that you want it. I don't just want to be kind of sending audios out because I don't know whether people want them or not, because there's no feedback on any of it. So I don't want to be bombarding you and, you know, with audios. So if you want stuff, then you can also ask for it. Like, let's do some pursuing. Who's hungry? If you're hungry, where'd you go? You go to the kitchen and you ask the cupboard, have you got any food to feed me with? Or you ask your wife or your husband, or you go to the takeaway. Or you'll go to a restaurant and you go and get fed, right? So we want God's spiritual food, right? So how hungry are you? Or are you stuffed up on junk food? So anyway, that I was only going to share just so everyone got on, but everyone's on. So anyway, I think with that, we better open up. So, Patty McHugh,